Sup, everybody. This is Carrick with ACG, and welcome to a solo podcast by me, yours truly, Carrick with ACG, as I said right at the starting. I do a YouTube channel, got some reviews on there. Maybe you found me from there. Maybe you've gone on to Spotify or iTunes, and we're actually in the top 100 Spotify and iTunes podcast links for podcasts about video games. Boom! That success right there. How did we achieve that success? By asking you guys to go and review the actual podcast. Viewing is great, but reviewing actually helps a great deal. So if you get a chance, go check those out. ACG, the best gaming podcast on iTunes and Spotify, and give it a review on iTunes. It is very helpful. Or on Spotify, add us to your little lists of whatever kind. I wouldn't know because I don't use Spotify that much. What are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. I do want to say something. This is not sponsored. This is just me. This came up a couple days ago. And I did want to say this because these are usually sponsored ads, usually something that a person, maybe they've tested, maybe they haven't. You guys know me. There's very few sponsored ads currently. There's none on here. I only do ads that I actually agree with. And many times I've been asked, for example, a lot of VPN services I've been asked. People will be like, hey, man, we want you to pimp this VPN. Well, I only use one or two. So the only ones I've actually discussed were the one or two I used or owned. But I did want to talk about, of all things, an energy drink. So you guys will see me at times drinking various different energy drinks on the show. There's been one that for about a year I've really liked. And I like the way it tastes, first of all. But I actually do need to pep me up occasionally, especially because of the massive amounts of caffeine and the quality that I usually imbibe anyway. Sometimes I need a sort of a get up and go. And the one I did find that I'm enjoying, at least right now, is called Rogue Energy. And this is something that I had found almost, I don't know, it's probably 2 or 3 years ago, but I found it and tried it out. It's one of those tub ones where you scoop out the little crystals and you put it into your drink, but it's actually been very, very good. And what's weird for me is, even when I was young, if something had a shit ton of caffeine in it or it just tasted a little bitter, I couldn't drink them. I'm not a big fan of that kind of stuff. So I've always gone a little bit on the sweet side. What I have been finding lately is one thing that's nice with a lot of these energy drinks that you can scoop out and you can sort of dump into a cup is you can control how much flavor they have. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is because I'm staring at it right now and I figured, you know what, I'd say something. Again, it's illegal for me to say that this isn't sponsored if it is, or vice versa. It isn't sponsored, though. It popped up, and I was just like, you know what? I'll talk about it because these are the things I like, and that way you guys will understand. You know, that's sort of what the channel's about. There's been jokes about me having a candy bar on the podcast and not being sponsored by that candy bar, and it's true. I just happen to like things, and I don't really get up caught in this ad rigmarole where it's like, you feel like some of these people are walking around with a fucking tattoo on their back of whatever company they're endorsing, right? And it's like they're owned by it or something. That's not me. If I like something, I'll just tell you. You know, something else that I've been enjoying, I use a Satisfy controller for the Nintendo Switch. Again, not sponsored. I just have been using it lately. So what this is it takes the Nintendo Switch and it turns it into more of a just a massive controller with the screen in the center. It's called Satisfy is the company. And I think it's Satisfy with a Y at the end, Y-E at the end. So it's not really spelled the right way. But you guys should check it out, man. I've talked about it in a couple podcasts. That thing has been awesome. So that's it for the non-sponsored, sponsored, but non-sponsored moments. I guess that's it, yeah. And actually, I'm enjoying my, what is this? I'm enjoying the hell out of this phone. I couldn't even tell you the damn brand of the, this is why I don't do sponsorship. What is the brand of this fucking thing? Oh, it's a Pixel. Yeah, I've been enjoying the Pixel phone too. There you go. I'm sure Google's like, give him 0 cents. But thanks. Thanks for pimping our stuff. Why did I bring that up? No clue. They were just sitting in front of me. Today's going to be one of those podcasts. I asked everybody to throw down whatever ideas they had for things we should talk about. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But the first thing I want to start this out with is I always get teased for being pretty unfeeling. You know, it's like if I'm playing a game, I'm not one to cry. I'm not one to really get emotionally connected. There is definitely a couple instances where I talk about this, but you know, at times you'll hear somebody be like, man, he's a sociopath or, you know, or that kind of thing. You know, it's like, he doesn't feel anything. He doesn't blah, blah, blah. And I certainly do, but I do have to say something does happen to me. And I want to know if the same thing happens to any of you who are watching, and you can feel free to tweet me at this with just the Twitch hashtag same, S-A-M-E. So if this happens to you, hashtag same, and explain that this happens. So I get a weird feeling. I don't get ups and downs like a lot of people. I don't get, I get that excitement. I talked about this in the last podcast, those momentary bits of excitement. But what happened yesterday was something that this frustrates me to all end. I wake up at 4 or 5. Everything's fine. Energy levels are fine. And then the only way to describe it would be, imagine somebody reaching into your head and tearing out the heat. And that's the easiest way to describe it, the heat. The heat is what I want to talk about. The heat is what I enjoy. And I was joking with Silver and Reg and Johnny prior to a podcast one day when everybody was happy-go-lucky. We were all enjoying it. We were having a good time. Somebody mentioned something I hate, and I was instantly on fire. I was like, rah, rah, rah. And I was like, you know what? That's funny, because that's the way I've worked, where if things piss me off, you know, I go absolutely nuts on them. However, I don't want the channel to be about that. But I was like, that heat is what drives me. And what was weird was, yesterday I woke up, heat was in my head. I had things I wanted to talk about, good and bad. Nothing, I want to make sure this is clear. I didn't wake up and I wasn't like, man, it is time to piss in your biscuits. Today I'm going to ruin your day. It's not the way I am. That's stupid. Let children do that, right? I don't need to do that. But I woke up and I was all energetic. I was walking around the house and I swear to God, I felt it happen. It was the weird, and I'm very attuned to the physicality of my body because of martial arts, because of weightlifting. You have to be. You have to always be listening to your body and feeling things, even if you have to ignore it, even after you ignore the pain to do something, you still have to know it's there. And, you know, you log it in as like, that's, you know, there's something going on there. We, you know, whether we look at it or whether we know about it, what have you. I was just walking through my living room and it was like somebody reached in like a marionette or like a puppet. They reached into my head and pulled the fire out. And I'm telling you, it was the weirdest thing. I was walking and I actually felt like my shoulders slump. Everything was fine. There was no depressiveness. That just doesn't usually happen to me. But it was like somebody reached in and they were like, boop. And the fire just went away. And I was like, oh shit, because I've had this happen before. I was like, oh shit, I need to re-grab that fire. So I thought about the event again. I thought about the things I wanted to talk about. Fire was gone. I could not revisit it. They were completely disconnected. And I'd just like to know if that happens to anybody else and how it happens, because I know obviously it's not special that this kind of thing happens. But I also want to make sure it's clear. This isn't depression. It's not the lack of being able to think of the things that fire you up. It's not like when you listen to music and the first time you listen to it, your brain's like engaged, right? It's on fire. Second time, third time, still on fire. Fourth, fifth starts to lower until suddenly you need more music to attain that. It's not that. It's where, for some reason, it's like a finger snap. It's gone. It's just, boom, it's gone. And it's not inspiration, because the inspiration is there. It's the emotional connection to the inspiration that is removed instantly and with absolutely no reason that I can find. And it doesn't happen all the time. It happened yesterday, though. I got up and I was like, man, I got a video I got to do. And I was excited about it. It wasn't got to do. I want to make sure that language doesn't stick in people's brains. It was that I want to do. And then it was like, boom, gone. And I rarely get this. So I figured it's good to talk about it, because I know a lot of people, I've actually had people in the Patron Today Discord and on another new Discord I joined. People are like, man, you're so high energy. I went into a Discord with a shit ton of people. And didn't say who I was. I was asking, it's a completely separated about something completely different than video games Discord. And somebody said, are you the YouTuber? And because, you know, Carrick-ACG is in there. And I was like, yes, you know, I didn't bring it up. And it was in there for 4 or 5 hours before somebody asked. And they were like, dude, I love your stuff. You're so high energy, blah, blah, blah. And that normally doesn't pep me up. It just like it doesn't pep me up or make me mad if somebody doesn't like my stuff. Those kind of things I've long since neutered as controlling me. But they were like, you're so high energy. And I figured yesterday was a good time where I wasn't, or where I was, but this got sucked for me. And I want to see what you guys have had, if you guys have had this, and what you maybe personally have done to revisit it. What I found with me is that this is different, by the way, than any of the other normal stuff, losing energy, being tired. This is where that fire goes, but you can still revisit it. You just can't find the emotional connection. What I have learned to do is I have to just throw that video away. And that's what I did. In fact, if I sit and think about that video, it will affect other things. So what I did was it went away. I tried to revisit it and I stopped in my tracks. I was walking, I stopped. I was like, oh shit, it's gone. Like it's just gone. And when I walk around and do things, I'm talking to myself a lot of times. So when I'm walking around, I'll be like, let's talk about quick resume, which by the way is what we'll talk about in this video. And I'm like, boom, 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 boom. I'm talking to myself. I'm thinking things through. And in situations like this, that talking stops. It's almost like the verbal voice in your head goes away. But anyway, I'd like to know what you guys think. Like I said, hashtag same if you have that. And again, I want to know if you have that very definitive, very, very unique kind of adjustment, not just normally losing the spirit. We can talk about that for sure, but I'm talking about that weird thing where you're walking and it's just gone with no real cause. And what do you do? Do you go on? For me, like I said, I have learned it is best to just completely kibosh that, you know, put it, save it somewhere, but move on. So we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. I'm going to go in reverse order because I asked a bunch of people what they thought and overall what they wanted me to discuss. And of course, I got a bunch of them, but I figured, you know what? What would be best is if we don't start from the starting, because a lot of times starting from the starting, you get a lot of people asking the same question. We're going to start from the bottom of both these lists. Now, I got a list on my old Patreon. I got a list on Twitter, and I got a list in the Discord. If you want to go to the Patreon and become one, I would love it. You guys help out so much. You didn't notice any ads here. That's because we are now lost all of our ads on the podcast as well. So if you come to the ACG podcast, you are actually helping. But we're going to go there first. Let's check out the podcast. And I have some topics I want to discuss too. So we're going to bounce around here to make it enjoyable. Let's see. Korvac says, flip the conversation about developing games for past and present console generations and it holding games back when it could be viewed that consoles in general are holding games back from using more advanced PC hardware to their true potential. Apologies if this is a dumb topic. Also, do you have any shirt designs down the pipeline? Loving the Ronin shirt. So two things. I do have more designs in the pipeline. And I'm glad, man. This has been incredible. The turnout for this, for the gear that I've made recently has been awe-inspiring. I don't even know what to say. It's been awe-inspiring. People have loved the shirts and loved the designs. This is a good question by Korvac, because we've talked about this before. Is it possible that by jumping to the newer technologies, we are not forcing game developers to use the current technologies to their utmost? Here is my quick and dirty answer for that, because we're not going to stick on all of these questions. This is a good question, but it's a question that unfortunately lacks, or unfortunately sort of falls into the context discussion. It sincerely depends on the generations of technology put in the consoles and what is being offered currently and, I would say, money-wise, efficiently. So, for example, the 360 and the PS3 were most likely holding back game development due to the lack of increases in their technology. They did great at the starting, but they were very long in the tooth. Those were very, and I'm a huge fan of that gen. If it might be the biggest, that might be my favorite gen. Like if we had to sit down, and I was going to be tortured if I didn't answer correctly. So that gen in particular, that is the normal status quo discussion, I think, applies. When you look, however, at other gens, it is true that when you don't force developers to really go out and find alternative ways to do things, they may never do so. Why do I bring that up, and why is that a good point from Korvac? Well, man, look no further than John Carmack working on VR and realizing that some of the adjustments he has made into engines on VR are now becoming things that other people are working on normal games. That's because he switched to a completely different paradigm. It's a completely different display structure. And now all of a sudden we have Microsoft talking about latency input and putting different things at different places in the buffer for whenever they draw out the frame. Some really cool stuff there. Is it all driven by John? No. What I'm saying though is that John was working on some stuff, including rendering out just, you know, basically foveted rendering wherever the eye is looking. And now we have developers, including the Switch version of Ori that just came out, that basically makes sure that the center, the place you're looking the most in that game, is the highest resolution. And the resolutions pushing out from there are lower. Variable shading the Xbox Series X has. Apparently the PS5 doesn't, because they are using different versions of RDNA. And we do know that, you know, when you look at it, variable shading does basically the same thing. It looks at spots in the game world and decides, does this resolution require this high you know, or does this location require high resolution, high shaders? And if it doesn't, we move on and we apply a lower shader value to those. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way it should be. It's a good question. I said it was going to be short. It wasn't short, was it? So that's one question, but let's talk about topics. Let's talk about something I want to talk about. I was going to do a video on this and boom, couldn't do a video. And honestly, just don't feel like getting in front of the camera today. And what is that? It's on Quick Resume. So I tweeted about this and I said, Quick Resume is one of the most talked about technical elements of the next gen consoles. And this is, of course, in particular, the Xbox Series X. However, I stated, I believe it is probably the one of the ones that will be the most ill-used or least used. Why do I think that? First, let us separate Quick Resume from Quick Loading. Quick Resume is the ability for you to dump the entire contents of your game save slash game location into RAM. Well, in this case, into NVMe as a file, which can then be resumed at a quicker state at a later time. Then you have loading. That's when you open up a game from a fresh point, no cache, and it loads in. Now, we already know that the Xbox X, we're seeing multiple videos, loads quite quickly. In fact, the Xbox X loads surprisingly quickly from exterior console USB 3.1, which is what it has. And I'll talk about that in a second, because my firm belief is anybody out there who wants these new systems should probably look at simply buying very large, very fast SSDs for their externals, or fast HDDs, 7200s, and not worrying about the external specialized NVMe. But I'll discuss that in a second. So, because you can just move them. So you've got your quick loading, boom, that's your fresh state. Game hasn't been played, you load it up for the first time. Games are loading insanely fast. It is, it's true. It's absolutely insanely fast. Then you look at quick resume. Now what quick resume is Microsoft has stated, or we've investigated now, Microsoft's holding anywhere from 150 to 200 gigabytes of hard drive slash NVMe space for these. Up to 12 backwards compatible titles so far in a row have been saved in quick state formations. Meaning, I open up 6 to 12 games, I play them, I decide at any point I want to switch to another game, I don't worry about saving it at the checkpoint, I don't worry about logging out, I simply switch to a different game. The Xbox X knows what you're doing, and it quick saves all of that into a file and writes it to the NVMe for quick resume at a later time. There's a couple caveats here, though. Multiplayer games are going to log you out anyway, right? We know that. No simulation occurs when this save occurs. So this isn't a situation where it's running in the background. This is saved. So that part's gone when it comes to MMOs. You will be kicked out of your MMO. So a save state and quick resume, little less important for MMO games. But let's look at single player games. If you save a single player game and you go back, then supposedly it will be saved wherever you are. Well, this is nice. Let's say you don't want to go back to a checkpoint, right? Let's say your checkpoint is 15 minutes away. That'd be a pretty crazy game, but let's say that happens and you want to get away from it, right? So you save, quick save, and you go off. Now, admittedly, they have stated that next generation versions of games will have larger space allocated, and they're assuming 5 to 6 of those. So let's say a mixture of 8 total. 4, 5 new ones, new next gen, so they have a bigger save state, and a couple backwards compatible games. Removing multiplayer, which also then would remove co-op, we start looking at other kinds of things. Pretty much anything multiplayer, you really wouldn't worry too much about saving that state. There wouldn't be a need to. But you look at single player games, which is pretty much where this is, and I personally feel that most players are not going to want to trust a resume state versus a saved checkpoint. And let me explain why. They do not warn you that your old quick save or your old quick resume file has gone away. So you're saving games, you're bouncing around, boom, you get to your allotment, and that first game that you used for quick resume is now going to be removed from the NVMe because you need space. Now, admittedly, that's a lot of fucking games. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't play that many games in a row. Not even close. It just does not happen. Certainly wouldn't happen to the point to where I'd need to use quick resume. At some point, I'd start saving at checkpoints. So you leave. That game now goes to its normal kind of save point, or its normal kind of save system, which means the NVMe will have it loaded wherever it's normally loaded, or the USB, but that save point is now gone. The save state, the file that you wrote to the NVMe, is no longer there. Meaning, when you load it back in, wherever your last save was is where it will be. Why do I bring this up as an issue? Well, I'm not trying to, but everything these days people think is an issue or isn't an issue. That's not the way it works. It's a gray area. The gray area being 200 gigs is a lot from a hard drive that isn't very big in the first place to save just for a situation and a series of choices that most gamers, or let's be honest, many gamers would not use. Not most, but many gamers would not use. Now, does this mean it'll go away? No. One, I would like the choice though. I would love to be able to say, do you want to hold 50 gigabytes, right? That would be great. Just like Windows Virtual, or not Windows Virtual, but Windows, when you do the backup system in Windows 10 itself, you can choose how many gigabytes. I'd love to be able to say 50 gigabytes saved, 100 gigabytes saved, 150 or 200, which looks like the max. That'd be great because I'd probably choose 50, which is not a huge amount, but you would still get some save games in there. Additionally, remember this, it is not saving the game in NVMe. Imagine it saving the last puzzle piece you put down. That puzzle piece is then removed as you sit down to complete the puzzle. You do not have to look around for the puzzle piece to remind yourself where you last took action. This puzzle piece is there in your hand. You slip it in. That puzzle piece engages the rest of the game, which is still wherever it should be, and then it can load in. That's what's going on with Quick Resume. Remember that. You're not saving the whole game. So you're not saving 150 gigs to an NVMe file if the game is 150 gigs. That is not how it works, and that's not how any system in the world works. So you don't have to worry about that when it comes to size. Anyway, those are my thoughts on Quick Resume versus loading. I think the loading is super fast. It's stellar. I think we're going to see the same thing on the PlayStation. Obviously, we've got super fast titles, but I'm not 100% sure Quick Resume is a situation where almost anybody requires it, other than if you're testing FPS on games and bouncing between games for some weird reason. Bouncing between two or three, that's one thing, but bouncing between six, seven, or 200 gigs worth seems to be a bit of an overkill for a situation that just doesn't really look like it's going to matter. Let's jump to another question. We'll go to Deaction Saxon. He says, question for the podcast. Since hindsight is 2020, what's one thing you'd go back and change in your life if you were given the chance to do so? So I've talked about this before. Personally, I would go back and be closer to a grandparent. My grandfather had cancer, and both grandfathers passed away of it, but one of my grandfathers had cancer, and it was my job. I was a big kid, so it was my job to assist the family in helping for his care. And at that age, you know, when you're that age, I was afraid of nothing, right? I was like, but it was not comfortable for me to be there all the time. And they had a nurse anyway, so there was no like lack of comfort. But there was a lot of Alzheimer's moments because he also had that. And there was just one or two moments that made me, you know, as a young kid, just made me uncomfortable. And I stepped away from it. No one was mad at me for that or anything. In fact, I may have suggested I would do it at the starting, you know, I can't remember. So nobody ever, you know, came down on me for it. But I would have stuck that through. I would have stuck it through, even though I know that would have been painful to see that, because I don't think we would have had any poignant. I don't think any poignant moments were lost, and we weren't insanely close. We were close in a grandson, grandfather way who did not live in the same town. We lived about 7 miles from each other. So, but I loved him, and he was a really good, grandpa, man. He was a really good grandpa, and that would have been great. Like I would have liked that. Additionally, I would say hindsight 2020, since I've used that answer. I would say if you ask most of my friends, it probably is true that I'm pretty stubborn, and I just walk away from things if I feel that they're wrong, which sort of we're describing a sort of a pattern here. But so when I was younger, I would date somebody and then I'd be like, boom, I'm out, for really no reason other than like, I'd be like, this has gone on for too long, I'm out, and I would date somebody else, right? Friendships were very close, but there were a couple side friendships that something would happen that would piss me off, and I'd just be like, I'm out, you know, I don't want to deal with this, you know, I've got too much going on, and I'd probably be a little less ironclad with that, probably. But I don't look too far back and say, man, I want to change this or I want to change that, because I don't know what changes that would occur in me right now. And, you know, I got four amazing dogs. I'm married. I got a house. I'm talking to you guys. I don't know if my life would be qualitatively better if I went back and changed those things. So that would probably be it. I mean, I said some stuff to like my parents when we were in fights or something. It was pretty rough. My parents are pretty cool, man, because my parents were awesome when I was a kid. They were just awesome. They weren't hippies or anything, but I just mean they were, you know, they trusted me and I delivered that trust mostly, or I didn't get caught. And there's a couple times where I remember where I said something to my mom and dad that was pretty rude for no reason. And it's like, I thought about that and I'm like, man, if my kids said that, you know, and I'll see it in a TV show, right? A kid will say something, you know, not like, I hope you die, you know, which is pretty rough when you think about it, but just other stuff. And I'll be like, man, that's, you know, that's a pretty shitty thing to say. But why look back on that kind of stuff? We all have those youthful indiscretions, and you never know if your own parents had the same one with their parents, so they understand, right? So looking back, useful occasionally, but I would say for the most part, I don't. Chet's new. Thank you very much for jumping into the patron. I know you're a newer person. I appreciate it. What's the smoke situation here? It's a little bit better. Still, smoke is still everywhere, but one fire has been contained, which is great. We still have our bug out bags packed up. We're still ready to giddy gat go at any point. Just jabber jaw into the back of us some kind of sand buggy at any point and go solve mysteries in another city. But it hasn't happened yet, so I appreciate you asking. The question was, since audio is a big part of your reviews, talk about whether Atmos headphones is worthwhile or what sort of audio setups you like. That's a good question. Audio setups I don't like, we'll start out with. One speaker on your fucking TV. Bro, step it up, man. That's straight up like WD-40 snorting level of audio, man. What the fuck are you doing? Don't huff. That is low quality street grade drugs compared to your high end cocaine, I guess would be the easiest way to say it. I think when it comes down to it, whatever works for you, I don't really have an issue with audio. So I've always been this way. You'll hear me talk about it with Airsoft. You'll hear me talk about it with cars. You'll hear me talk about it with audio. If I can find a way to get like for less, I always will. I've been that way since day one. So like if there were two Blu-ray players and one did almost everything the other did and people were like, yeah, this one's got better specs, but when you put them side by side, you can't tell. I would always go with a cheaper one. I've always been that kind of gamer. I've always been like, dude, why? I don't care about names. I don't care about, you know, premium setups. I've had a couple, though, that I've been very impressed with. I have some Alpine setups for my home I was in love with. Some Polk audio setups that I've been in love with. And I would say when it comes to headphones, you know, as long as you've got pretty good headphones that are, you know, honestly, that are delivering audio that gives you a little bit of sound separation, at that point, then it's sort of up to you. I am not a person who's like, pip, pip, man, these are $7,000, so they're the only ones who are good. I'm not like that at all. I have a number of HyperX headsets, which, yes, admittedly, their basis is on a much higher quality audio headset, which is why they are sold for cheap, but they have great audio. But they're still under 100, right? They're still under 100, and I love them. I've got the Neura, which are expensive for 500, and a couple others. But I've sold a lot, you know, and I've sort of moved on. I think your biggest deal when it comes to headsets and headphones is just make sure your leg is set up right. If you're using ancient, old school Bluetooth, right, for your audio with a leg, that's an issue. Like that to me would drive me nuts. Other than that, not too much when it comes to these kind of things. Buy what feels comfortable. Comfort is number one, because it, you know, it's sort of like a relationship. Hot significant other, but they're a bitch or a bastard all the time. Well, you know, are you getting your worth out of it? And I think headphones are the same way. So here now, it's probably a bit of time here to talk a little bit about save games and the save game issues. So this has come up, PS4, Superman, Spider-Man, sorry, all that kind of stuff. Save games, are they moving forward? Are they not with your PS4 to your PS5 and your Xbox to your Xbox One? So when it comes to how save games go, I'm a fan of having them move forward if you have backwards compatible. I think that just makes sense. I think the idea of backwards compatibility without the save game is weird. Most games that I play on the PC, if they're backwards compatible on a different version of Windows, the save game works, right? That's just the way it is. So I would expect them to work. Now, we are finding out In particular, for some reason, a lot of Sony titles apparently are not going to be backwards, forwards compatible with their save files. That does suck. It's not unexpected on Sony's part, because I think Sony, I think we're all really, we're just honest with ourselves. Sony's had an issue lately with their backwards compatibility and how they're handling it. That's something where I think, you know, you look at it and can say, yeah, they're definitively behind Xbox in that. And so right now, maybe they don't have a situation figured out. Sorry, I had to take a little drink. If that's true, you know, I don't see them wanting that. So I do see them working on that, if that makes sense. And yeah, that's about it. It sucks. It sucks. But I'm hoping that it doesn't become a thing. I think that would be crazy. And I just don't expect it to sort of continue. I just don't. Whether I'm right or wrong, I don't know. BioShark says, here's another question. Give us some real-life wildlife stories you've experienced in your life if you went hunting. Yeah, so listen to this shit. My dad owns a bow shop, right? S&S Archery on the Oregon coast. He owned this for about 7 years. So I had a Martin Lynx bow. It's about 65-pound pullback. Really good bow, shot it all the time. And I'm a sans sights kind of guy. I don't like sights. I've never used sights. I went on, you know, knowing the distance of the creature and then going by feel. I just felt that, I don't know. I just didn't like sights. They were ugly. They got caught on shit. So we go out, right? We're hunting. I'll tell you two stories. This first one though, we're hunting, man. It's about 5:30 in the morning. You're walking down this gravel path. Now, when you're young, you never think this will be the time, like, this will be the last time we go hunting. Like, these were special times. It's sad my dad, you know, his elbow's fucked up from shooting arrows all the time, and he's older, so he can't do this. This is a good memory, because they all tease me about this. So we go out, right? And if you know compound bows, there's two type of compound bows. There's your normal shot and your overdraw. What an overdraw does is it has a guard, and you actually are drawing the arrow broadhead past your lead hand even farther back. This allows for faster speed. It looks dangerous, but it's not, because it has a slide there that's there on purpose, but allows for you to get a full extension on that compound bow. You get a faster arrow. I did not have that. Had a normal. Well, with compound bows, and in particular broadheads on arrows, broadheads can get pretty big. And I had some big bear tri-tip arrowheads on here. These things were massive. So I see a deer. We're at dawn. We're in the middle of the road, actually, and it's stopped on the edge of the road. And we see this, and my brother and my dad are like, go for it. So I pull back, right? I pull back on this specialized Martin bow. This amazing bow with my brand new arrowheads. And as I pull it back, little did I realize that with these particular broadheads, their head was so wide, and my lack of sights allowed me to get away with having a very small arrow rest. What I mean by that is, because there was nothing else sort of being in the way, I could have a very small place where the arrow's broadhead rested, or the arrow's shaft rested, that was against the bow at the very tip. So it's sort of, that's what holds it in place. So I pull this back, and little did I know, I pulled it just far enough back that the broadhead caught on the edge of the bow and put it off the nock. It pulled it off the string. But because I had my glove on, could not feel that. Now, what this is called is a dry fire. Anybody who goes hunting knows what a draw fire is. It is basically the last day your bow will ever work. A bow needs to transfer energy through the arrow. And if it does not, it is a fucking disaster on the bow. No lie, man. Fucking pull this back, and I'm doing the fucking, you know, Robin Hood thing. World's slowing down. My fucking big mullet is like blowing in the wind. I hear, like, you know, lady, whatever her name is, fucking calling my name. We're going to get busy later. Everything slows down to a hush. Just, you can hear that. Anything I do, from Bryan Adams playing. And I pull back this fucking bow. I do it for you. And I fucking foo. And I let this thing go. Now, two things happen. One, the deer looks at me, and I'm pretty sure if deer had hands, he'd flip me off. But he looked at me like I was nothing. Like, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And then he just trotted off. Second thing that happened, my arrow didn't go anywhere other than it fell lightly to the ground. Now, my dad and my brother both know what this means. My brother starts laughing. He's on my right. He laughs. He twists away to try to hide his laugh and falls basically to his knees in the ditch because he's laughing that hard. My dad's look of horror is quite easy to see because you can hear the twang of this bow as the arrow doesn't suck up that energy and the bow limbs do. Now, today this might be lesser of an issue, but back then this was a huge issue. I shoot it. My dad looks at me. I look at him and he's like, shit, you dry fired it, didn't you? And I'm like, yeah. So we're like, okay, let's go back to the car so we can remove the cable and see if we have to replace the limbs. No lie, guys, I'm walking back to the fucking car and shit starts falling off my bow as I'm walking. Now, people need to realize a compound bow is under a shit amount of tension, a fucking freakish amount of tension already. So what I did was that tension was quadruple-tupled and released back into the bow limbs. So as I'm walking back, the first thing that happens is the arrow knock, but the arrow rest that's actually on the leading edge of the bow where your broadhead would sort of rest as you fired it, that just falls off. Now that was arrow glued on. They use a special Loctite kind of glue. That falls off. That's when we start to realize this bow is falling apart because that should never fall off. It's a type of glue that's pretty much an organic glue that seals it forever. The only way to get it off would be like with a razor blade and pulling it off, then cleaning it. But this thing just pops off. And my dad sees it pop off and he's like, oh, shit. Because we don't know what to do. It's like, do you run back to the truck before this thing explodes, which could really hurt somebody. You could lose an eye if it snaps. But we decide we'll head back. So I'm holding it off to my left as we're walking. My brother is weaving, right? This fucker can barely stay on the road. He's laughing so hard at me. He's like, and I'll never live this down. So I'm walking back. We get within sight of the truck. And as I walk back, I hear something hit the ground behind me. And I look where the arrow where the arrow rest usually is. There was also this really nice inlay that was on the bow. That looks like it was looks like it was chiseled into the bow, but it's not. It's basically this fine inlay that they stick on the bow before they ship it to you. It falls off. Now that's a disaster because if that part's falling off, that thing is like three or four inches wide by like 8 inches tall. It covers where the sights would go. It covers where that arrow rest would go. And it covers down to my hand. That's gone. It's fallen off. My dad's like, oh shit, just drop the bow. No lie, I put the bow out to drop it, and as I drop it, the fucking cable snaps. And it's so difficult to describe to somebody what it's like, but imagine like a super thin wire, like a USB 3 cable, snapping, but under, 60 pounds of tension already, but at rest even more, and then through all those camshafts. That thing fucking explodes, man. The arms on it, which these are a composite like arm, they split down the center. Meaning, imagine you get 10 layers of wood, you glue them all together, and you sand them down so it looks like one piece of wood. However, you put different pieces of wood in there to add strength and flexibility, right? And when you put that wood glue in there, the wood glue is actually stronger than the wood, right? So this is one solid piece. That shit starts to just evaporate in front of our eyes. And this thing's laying on the ground, and you can watch as the edges of both arms just start to split from the edge, like a flower bouquet opening up, or like a flower in the morning. Just my dad's just like, dude, that's like a $400 bow. So that's one story. The next was my dad and I decide to go hunting. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and there's a donut shop. And this was, little kid, you don't give a shit. You're like, donuts, fucking, that's the way to go. So, and I think I've told this story before, but we get a bunch of fucking donuts, man. My dad never got on me for overeating. He never got on me for being in shape and working too hard. He was one of those dads that was just like, he would correct a poor course, but he would never be like, dude, stop eating those. So, right, we get like 2 or 3 old fashions. I'm a big fan of the green lemon juice that you can get inside of some of these. So I get a lemon filled or two. I get these lemon filled, right? We go out in the middle of nowhere. It's about 4 a.m. My dad knew all these people, by the way. Everybody's like, my dad's name is Stan. Everybody's like, sup, Stan, blah, blah, blah. This is your son. introducing everybody. We get these fucking donuts, right? And this is just a pleasure palace, right? This just means that I'm going to be hopped up like nobody's business. Because when you're tired and you're hunting in the morning, it can be rough, man. You're fucking driving. And my dad would never put the radio station onto a station. It would be like between two. So you'd be fucking driving. It's 4 o'clock. You're supposed to stay up. He'd get on you. He'd be like, hey, stay up. You know, keep a lookout if you see a deer on a hill. And as you're driving out there, it'd be like, this heart of mine. And then the Taylor Swift song come on. And be like, you know, Bittler Brothers, sports and fucking, you know, specialization store. For fucking 2 hours as you drive in the middle of nowhere. So I get up in the middle of nowhere and we're waiting, right? We got an hour and I'm fucking chawing these donuts, man. I'm chawing them. These donuts are fucking mine. All these donuts. And I eat them all. Right, I eat them all. Probably 4 old fashioned and a fucking lemon filled. Probably, if not more. Right, we're gonna work it off anyway because you hike all day, all fucking day. And I don't know what happened, man. I have no clue what happened to this day. But about an hour after eating those, we still have about a 45-minute wait. All of a sudden, my stomach's like, blah, 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 blah. Now this is like the top of a coffee percolator, the old style ones, right? Like, or like when your toilet unplugs and the toilet paper and everything goes down, you hear that. So it's just like, nobody says anything. We just keep listening to music. We're just idling. We're waiting for daytime. About 5 minutes pass. Now those sounds happen, but no pain, right? I'm fine. No cramps, nothing like that. I'm like, that's weird. You know, I don't think anything about it. I'm a young kid. I'm pretty much fucking impervious, by the way, to sick stomach kind of issues. I just don't get them. But then I realize it's going the entire time. The entire time. And pretty soon my dad is like, do you need to take a shit? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. And he's all, dude, you're going to be sick. And I'm like, no, man, I'm good. I'm good. And then about 4 or 5 minutes later of solid, by the way, this never stopped. It goes like this. And there's just silence. And my dad starts chuckling. And it dawns on me that what's happened is whatever was moving had ceased moving because there was nowhere to move to. It was at the exit. And I went from not having to go to the bathroom to having to remove 8 or 10 donuts plus last night's dinner in a millisecond. So I'm like, I have to go. And he's like, no worries. So we have toilet paper, you know, we're not animals. I'm not wiping my ass with a fucking, you know, hillbilly head or anything. So he's like, here, boom, here's some toilet paper. And I go, I don't know if you've ever crapped in the woods, but crapping in the woods is it's a delight of dexterity and poise and also embarrassment because it's almost like if you stare at your dog when they go to the bathroom, like a dog will stare at you when you go to the bathroom because they have no shame. You'll go to the bathroom, dog will peek its head in and just be like, sup. And you're like, dude, seriously, could you leave? But when a dog is pooping out in your yard, go watch him and he'll look away. He's like, dude, you know, they don't have the same, they can deal it, right? But they can't fucking take it back. That's the way a human is in the woods. And so you're trying to figure out how do I not crap on myself in my pants? And how do I not, so I'm, at this time, I'm probably, because I was a spotter then, right? I didn't have a gun. So I was probably 12 or 13. So I decide to do the one thing that makes total fucking sense, right? This makes sense to me at the time. I strip my pants off. I'm like, I ain't gonna shit on the edge of my pants, right? So I strip my pants off. I'm like, boom, fucking pants go off. But I forgot to take my boots off. So one pant leg comes off, the other pant leg is stuck on. And I'm like, no worries. I'm flicking it with my right foot. I'm flicking the fucking pair of pants as far away as possible so I don't shit on them. So now you've got to go to the bathroom. You've got to wipe with toilet paper. And so I get done with my business and now I got to like hobble away a good distance so that I can get my pants and then get my pants back on while over the boot. Cause you don't want to take your boot off because we did the thing where against ticks, you seal it. Now I'm sure everybody right when I said that was like, dude, you just flicked your fucking pair of pants and everything, you know, 6 feet away from you at the end of your right foot. That's true. But you don't think of that when you're a kid. Like you only think about one specific thing at a time, right? Like you think this hot dog looks good and you don't realize flies landed on it 5 minutes ago. So you buy it from AMPM and you end up fucking getting dysentery. So I get these fucking pants back on and I go back. And my dad is laughing so hard that when I walk back to the truck, I can see the truck shaking. And they still, to this day, both of those events, they still tease me to this day about. They're just like, dude, seriously. You know, I would say hunting for me was an amazing time, but goddamn, did I not have some serious disasters. Good question. Moving back onto games for a bit and game reviews. So I'm doing a bunch of stuff. I'm doing some, you know, I did some game reviews here recently. Those did better than I thought. I'm checking out some games here in the next day or so. A lot of stuff has happened. But one thing Jeffrey Jarvis says is, do you ever feel that being super opinionated can come off badly to some people? And people were talking about, like, when it comes to, you know, if you're just being super opinionated. And I would say, yeah. I mean, I think having any opinion, and Reg points this out, having any opinion comes off badly to some people, regardless. It's just the way it is. And there's not a lot you can do. I think that we're living in a world that is so different now. We're living in a world which has so much connection to everybody else that trying to worry about that kind of stuff will probably burn you out. And at times I have to remind myself and be like, okay, listen, dude, you know, like, you just say what you're going to say and don't worry about it. Like, because I might say something that's sort of derogatory towards my own Discord. Well, that usually I don't have an issue with. I'm trying to think of really when I would say that. But there's got to be a time where I'm like, okay, don't worry about it. Maybe something about my family or something like that. And I'm like, you know, you can't make everybody happy. It's not going to happen. So you might as well just go to fucking town and do what you do. And that's pretty much what I do and what's worked for me. Having an opinion, it's going to bother people. I just don't worry about those kind of things that much, because in real life, if I turn off this computer, this little 27 inch or 32 inch screen I'm looking at, when I turn that off, people can't get to me, right? They can't get to you. And you have to remember that that's available to you as an outlet. You have to remember that disconnecting is possible. You'll always make friends and enemies of friends and friends of enemies at some point on the internet. You just have to be as open to it as possible, and accept it for the fucking phenomenal thing it is, which is the ability for, I have people who ask me questions, actually want to know the answers. It's crazy. And it's something that you have to remember and not take for granted. That's the thing that basically is most important to me, is that some people are like, hey man, you know, what do you think about this? And it's very cool. And you can forget. It's easy to forget those things. Paco says, not sure if you're still recording. Do you have any kids? No, I don't. At some point, it'd be cool to have them, but I don't right now. Game Overman says, do you have any strange superstitions? That's a good question. Yeah. I didn't step on cracks on the sidewalk for years as a kid, but I don't remember thinking it was the old story of step on a crack, break your grandma's back or mother's back, whatever that old saying was. It wasn't that. I don't even know if it was a superstition. Other than that, no. I would say I don't want to press fate for no reason, though, because I don't think of fate necessarily being a fate thing, but it is a focus thing. If you take away fate and you instead replace it with the word focus, I think there's some truth there. And what I mean by that is, if you discuss something, there's a chance, a higher chance, you may notice something later revolving around that. And I think that, especially if you focus on it a great deal, can end up sort of impacting you. And so when I say not tempting fate, it's like, sometimes I won't be like, well, I haven't had any tech issues so far, knock on wood. You know, then you might notice a tech issue that technically you may have not noticed prior. It may have been so small, you might have been like, that's a day-to-day movement. But because I mentioned it, then it becomes a thing, if you get my drift. And I'm a big believer in focus. I think focus is really, that's life, right? If you focus, if you buy a new car, you notice that kind of car on the street. That is the fucking way it is. So I think that that's important. Colossus. And I think it was Colossus. It wasn't Colossus, though. It was Colo is what we called him. He asks, what's your morning ritual? You mentioned that little things can throw you off, but I was wondering what you do more or less. I roll out of bed, man. I roll out of bed. I say hello to the dogs. I make sure that they haven't pooped or peed in the house, you know, because we have one old one. And then I sit down and I start looking at Discord and start preparing my day if it's a work day. If it's not a work day, I look at what I want to do. A lot of times I have more energy than anybody around me. So a lot of mornings I'm getting everybody else up and forcing everybody to, you know, to help me with the labors of the day that I want to do. That's just the way it is. I've gotten used to it as I've gotten older, that it's like, okay, that's just the way it is. I am more, you know, I am the planner, the group get together-er. So that's just the way it is. But my morning stuff is pretty much the same, man. Get up, get a pop, soda to those of you who don't like the term pop. And I go to work. Let me get a drink. That's it. I don't really, other than that, and then I work out if I'm going to work out in the morning. And if I don't, I don't. That's pretty much it. The Spaniard says, if you could have a conversation with your 20-year-old self, what would you tell them? She ain't worth it. And I'll just leave it at that. He would know and I would know. Yeah. He would know and I would know. Let's go back to general. Verify there isn't anything else. Okay, there isn't anything else in there. A lot of people are talking about the 3080 issues. I had a 3080, which is the video card, if people don't realize it. And I had some issues. Unfortunately, I think we've got a lot of those fixed. I have a couple of the Founders Edition 3080s. But we were talking about tech recently, and I was just like, you know, the way it is with tech is you got to know, man. If you're jumping into tech early, you got to be prepared for some tech issues, right? That's just the way it is. Carlos says, let's touch on the clusterfuck this new console pre-order situation has been. It's so weird because I just haven't had one. I guess I heard recently that that Sony was like, we may not have as many, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I mean, that's that kind of stuff, though. But I've been involved in so many pre-orders of stuff and so many orders where they haven't even said that there was an issue, that to me, this isn't really too bad. I was able to get a PS5 and an Xbox with relative ease. The 380 was more difficult, but you're talking about the consoles. I'd like to know if you guys had a harder time. It seems like you did. Ben, who is Big Mac, I think, if you could only pick three new games to play for the remainder of the year, what would they be? Oh, to clarify, you could play games from early in the year. I'm really just wondering what you're looking forward to. I'm looking forward to G.I. Joe, to Cyberpunk, and to Legion. Valhalla also, but Legion in particular. Those would be the ones probably. But I mean, I don't know. I don't want to take a big swing because those might suck. Chet Sanderberg says, do you have a Razer Kishi? That's the Xbox telephone holder thing, so streaming the Xbox. I do not, but I have a sort of a shitty gen version of that, a shitty ripoff version. Works quite well, though. I'm pretty happy with that. I've been doing a lot of streaming from the console to my PC, and it's worked well. Some people were asking me what I thought about Mass Effect Legendary Edition. So we'll sort of wrap it up a little bit on this, maybe go to one or more questions, and then we'll wrap it up. I don't want to keep these too long. So the Mass Effect Legendary Edition was supposed to be revealed this winter, and it has been pushed out until next year. And I was asked what my thoughts are on that. And a lot of people said it's make changes to or improvements to Mass Effect 1. I think that that's true, but I also believe that more importantly to me than that even is that if you're going to revisit Mass Effect, you do have to look at the ending, which I think, bar none, whether you liked it or not, we could all agree that the ending to Mass Effect 3 was the largest of the issues that Mass Effect as a series encountered, Mass Effect 1 included, even though Mass Effect 1 had issues with texture streaming, had issues with the elevators, and it was clunkier. I just recently replayed it and had no issues because I'm human. I can fucking adapt. Some people are like, I can't see anything less than 60 frames per second or I die. You know, sucks to be that weak. I'm not like that. Same way with Mass Effect 1. So Mass Effect 1, a little crunchy, fix that. That's great. I am much more interested in what they do with Mass Effect 3 and the ending. Because even though I know that some people in that team were happy with the ending, I bet you they're not happy enough that they will not want to fix it. And I'm far more interested in how they're going to go about that than bringing number one back up. That's just me. And speaking of that's just me, let's talk about game prices and we'll be done. So a lot of people were asking, you know, we're seeing $70. Sony has announced first person $70. Will we see everybody go at that? No, we won't. And here's why. This is a, in particular, a situation where a lot of devs can end up coming out the other end of this appearing to be far more pro-consumer than they really are by simply sticking to $60. We will see that. We'll also see developers who believe that the value of $60 means that they may get two sales instead of one at $70. This also, I think, puts two things on a $70 game. It puts a finer focus on what you're getting, and the raises the expectations of what you're getting. Where now, a $60 game, people will, over time, start to go, oh, what's a $60 game? It's not 70. Just like we currently say, oh, it's a 50. Oh, it's a 40. Oh, it's a 30. Oh, it's a 20. Oh, it's a 10. You know, oh, it's a 9 or $5 game. So to me, I don't see everybody doing it. I didn't ever see everybody doing it. I think it makes sense for some companies to do it, as in how they want to make money. Games haven't risen. I do actually have receipts for Genesis games, $69.99, $59.99. So multiple receipts, by the way, because one of my friends worked at a store and he ended up keeping my receipts. And I ended up keeping my receipts. Or sorry, he ended up keeping his receipts from some games that were classics, and I kept some of my receipts. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. I think some people are sort of deluding themselves in thinking that, you know, we weren't expecting this. Some will get away with it in microtransactions. Some will get away with it in DLCs where they hope people continue to do it. But I think people forget the value of a deal. And you're starting to see Game Pass and others realize, Humble Bundle in particular, realize that a deal can end up reselling your game again and again and again. And that's the important part. Anyway, that is it for me. I want to say thank you to everybody who's joined in. Thanks to everybody who stopped by to listen to the podcast. You do help. Patron all the way. Patron, ACG, check it out. It really does help the channel. Maybe, you know, put a thumb out there for people. You know, get in their ear if they start talking about podcasts and you like this one and you want to tell them about a good one. That's it, everybody. I hope you have an absolutely excellent week. Peace out.